WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A damp day. It was starting to mist as I left the car and started walking into the studio. It's definitely sprinkly, we'll call it. So keep that in mind if you're heading out the door. But it's not going to be an overly hot day. Going to be in the 60s, but then we've got some warm and humid weather coming up. And, of course, Christina will keep you updated on the forecast. So, we've got a lot that we can discuss today. But there was some interesting news that we posted at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app yesterday in that school committee member in New Bedford, Ross Grace Jr., would not be seeking re-election this fall. He has endorsed one of the two new candidates, Marcus Coward. The New Bedford Light has a report about who is seeking re-election and who isn't. Melissa Costa has taken out papers. And if I remember right, it said Colleen DeWicke still hadn't taken them out or not, but I think it's interesting because we're at a point where the school committee is charged with looking at a lot of policy now as we come out of the pandemic years. And then if you heard Chris McCarthy's show yesterday, he was playing some of the clips from the school committee when they were voting regarding this resolution about making the schools safe zones from immigration enforcement. And in that discussion that he played, he had a clip of Chris Cotter, one of the school committee members, saying how, you know, the focus is filling the education gap that was created by the COVID-19 pandemic and homeschooling and all that. And I've got to ask, at one point do we stop utilizing that as an issue? I mean, we're 5 years out from that now. You know, so basically 4 years out from when kids weren't allowed to go to school. Because if you remember, New Bedford had hybrid learning before a lot of other school districts had kids coming back to school. So there are kids who, you know, obviously went through a lot, but they've also had more time being back to normal than they had being in that new normal. And again, I'm not trying to be critical of whether or not this is still an issue. I'm just asking, like, at what point does it no longer be an issue? At what point do we no longer point to that for the reason behind deficiencies? I think in all honesty, I think Chris Carter was just using that as an excuse to vote against this resolution. But I think, you know, he wasn't going to support it either way. But at what point does that no longer be on the table? Because again, kids have been back in school a lot longer than they were out of school. That's like saying, you know, a first grader can't be well adjusted because of things that happened in kindergarten. No, that was a year ago. Things are different. Things are changed. Kids are resilient. Kids are adaptive. So I think we can kind of get out of the post-pandemic education mindset. I mean, certainly there's still things that need to be focused on by the administration, but I don't think we need that by the school board, but I don't think that needs to be the entire rhetoric around things anymore. Maybe you disagree, 508-996-0500, but I would like to see, you know, school committee candidates in New Bedford and in other towns, you know, focus less on now overcoming what happened in the past and start looking toward where things are going to go in the future. And that's part of the reason why Ross Gray said he is not running for re-election, because his future requires more of his presence at home and with his family. I don't know if people are aware of this, but he bought a home recently. That was something that he had posted about on social media. And he's got a lot of work that he wants to do around the home. And as he said, you know, he's been involved in so many things in the community for so many years that he needs to spend some time on that. And totally understandable. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Safiola.
How you doing?
Good. Are you talking about the school committee?
Yes.
Well, you know, and then they were trying to decide about recalls and everything, and they were putting the school committee into it. You know, do you realize, well, a lot of people realize it, that they don't even get paid to serve on that committee. And they're the only elected body that's volunteering their time for the, you know, for the kids, to help the kids. Okay, but my problem rises with, you know, Linda Moran, when she was president of the city council, she put a thing on the, to pay the dog catcher another $50,000. Now, my question is, why isn't Berger doing the same thing to get the school committee paid? They deserve to get paid, even a stipend.
Yeah,
everybody wants people. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can certainly bring that up to him on Monday.
You know what I mean? The idea is he can do that. But nobody's thinking of every other, like Taunton, Fall River, they pay the school committee people. Now they were talking about having the city council get paid, you know, like a full-time job. They're making over $30,000 now. They gave themselves a raise. You don't want to say that, like the mayor tried to sneak things through. If people remember, when they put the 44% raise, they tried to sneak it in too until somebody caught it. So, you know, that's the way politics is running in New Bedford. Give the people money for this. They go to all the events. They use their own cars, their own gas. And you're trying to tell me that the city council cannot make a motion to pay them people?
Right. I mean, even if it's, you know, a fraction of what city councilors get, yeah, it's just, it's something to kind of offset some of that.
$7,500. I've been fighting for this for years. And I've been using $7,500 as a stipend for the paperwork that they use, their gas and everything.
Now, Just as a point of clarification, though, you know, Mayor Mitchell would not be eligible for that stipend, right?
No, he would take it anyway.
I think if he was eligible for it, I think he'd pass on it. But
see, Mayor Mitchell is not an elected body. He's not a school committee member.
Right. He's there because by virtue of his role as the mayor.
Right. And the only reason he's supposed to vote is if there's a tie. So, you know. it just amazes me that how everybody else is, you know, jumping in on a bandwagon to get raises, and the school committees have never been considered.
No, it's a fair point.
You know, it's been a fair point, but how come nobody's moving on a school and the city council? Anybody can make a motion.
I don't know.
Virgo of all people should be doing it. He's the president. He can put it on the agenda. He can set the ball rolling.
I mean, he talks with us every week about the work that the council puts in addition to working full-time jobs. And, you know, he has an appreciation for that and an understanding why they get paid for that. You think he can apply the same thing to the school committee?
Listen, when you know that I've always been a supporter of John Mitchell, okay? When it was time for the four-year term, I voted against it, okay? I voted against it for the sole purpose. I know the system. I knew that the city council was going to want a four-year term too, okay? And look what they did with their pays. They still get the cost of living. They've been going, they got a 44%. And if you figure the 44% for the $14,000 that they were making in the president at 18, now they're in the 30-something thousand with benefits. The school committee doesn't have benefits. And they're an elected body. They're an elected body in the city of New Bedford. And they don't get paid for it. And the city council always says, oh, we're, you know, it's a part-time job and all this. You know, so somebody get off their keisters and do something for them poor people, not poor people, but the school committee that deserves to get at least a stipend.
All right. I agree. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
And I'm going to take a break. See? Like, it's... It's not like, okay, so I'm not trying to belittle what the school committee does at all, because they do a lot beyond just even their regular meetings, but it's not at the same level of commitment as the city council. But to Gilly's point, you don't have to give them, you know, a salary. You just give them a stipend, something to make up for the time, as he said, you know, the gas, the wear and tear on their own vehicles, getting to all of these school events, you know, and I totally agree with that. In fact, I would say, you know, there's a lot of argument to be made for anybody who volunteers for boards and commissions to be able to get a little something. And that, you know, that doesn't have to be a regular paycheck. That can be something like, you know, here's $100. Again, as a stipend, not as paying someone for a role, because you don't want people that are getting into this for the money, but a little something for the time and the effort. And as he, you know, just pointing out the gas. You know, I've done a lot of things for charitable organizations where, you know, they don't pay people for doing it. People are donating their time, but they'll give them dinner. It's like, okay, well, you know, we're not paying anybody, but you get to eat for free. Or, you know, sometimes I've gotten, you know, $25 for the gas or whatever. I usually just turn around and donate that back because it didn't cost me $25 in gas to get there. But things like that, you know, I could see as an argument for really anybody. Like, just give them a pizza party at the end of the year. But his point is fair to the school committee, because they do a lot. There's a lot of meetings, but there's also a lot of things that they're involved with in the school community. People don't realize it's not just showing up for those meetings on Monday nights. It's also attending every school function that you can at every school. So being there for school plays, being there for awards nights, being there for graduation, being there for, if they allow adults to come, field day. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
President Trump signing a trade deal with the UK. Social Security payments could rise next year, and Nintendo crushing sales records.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump says the U.S. has signed a trade deal with the United Kingdom.
We just signed it, and it's done. And so we have our trade agreement.
Trump made the announcement with the U.K. Prime Minister at the G7 summit in Canada. Trump called it a fair deal for both. Exact terms of the deal were not made public. The man accused of killing a Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband is facing federal murder and stalking charges. Minnesota acting U.S. Attorney Joseph Thompson said Vance Belter visited the homes of two other lawmakers with the intention of harming them, but one was not home and he was scared off by police at the other home. Belter is also charged with shooting Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. Purdue Pharma is entering a $7.4 billion settlement with 55 U.S. states and territories.
The states and territories accused the company behind OxyContin of fueling the nationwide opioid crisis by aggressively marketing its products. The settlement will also end the Sackler family's ownership of Purdue Pharma. Money from the settlement will go to state and local governments, individuals, and Native American tribes. Since 1999, there have been more than 850,000 opioid-related overdose deaths in the U.S., according to the CDC. I'm Matt Mattinson.
California lawmakers are introducing a bill that would prohibit all levels of law enforcement from wearing items covering their faces. Democratic Senator Scott Wiener says that the bill stems from federal law enforcement operations in Los Angeles and other parts of the state in which agents' faces are hidden.
It's all new and unprecedented. We have not had an aspiring fascist dictator in this country who's trying to create a police state with secret police. That's what's happening right now. A year ago, people would have called me melodramatic for saying that. It's not melodramatic.
Wiener says some law enforcement officers are grabbing people off the street and throwing them into vans. There are exceptions to SB 627, known as the No Secret Police Act. President Trump wants the Fed to lower interest rates. Speaking from the White House, Trump said the U.S. has too much short-term debt and the country would save billions if the interest rate was lowered.
If he'd lower it by 2 points, we'd pay $600 billion a year. That's for years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever we make it. But we can't get this guy to do it.
Without mentioning Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell by name, Trump said Powell's nickname is too late because he waits too long to cut the rates. Trump added he's not going to fire Powell. Social Security's cost of living adjustment could go up 2.5% in 2026. That's what analysts are predicting, but that could change depending on what effect President Trump's sweeping global tariffs could have on prices. The adjustment is calculated based on price and inflation data from July, August, and September. The increase could go up if those numbers do too. Nintendo's newest video game console is breaking sales records.
The Switch 2, released last week, managed to rack up more than 3.5 million units sold in just 4 days. That makes it the fastest-selling console in the history of the company. The Switch 2 retails for about $450. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Mariners last night 2-0 in Seattle. Both teams back at it again tonight at 9:40.
Now, your ABC6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
A little bit of a murky morning on this Tuesday. Temperatures on either side of 60 degrees, some patchy fog, more cloud cover, and a couple of showers here for the South Coast. And that's how it's going to be throughout the day. Not a washout by any stretch, but a couple drips and drops, and we still keep the clouds around as we move into the afternoon. Temperatures a little below average today, even a little bit more than a little along the coast. We'll be in the mid and upper 60s for the coast. And then as you head inland, you're looking at the upper 60s and low 70s. But if you like it warm, just wait a couple days. There is much warmer weather on the way for the middle of the week. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. You know, people say, Tim, you talk a lot about Stevie's Wine and Spirits on the show. They bring you the news every half hour, as well as our ticket giveaways, including our current contest, where you can win tickets to see Cyndi Lauper in her final ever appearance in the area at the Xfinity Center on July 17th. You can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And again, it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And people say, you talk about Stevie's, it's so early in the morning. It's too early for me to be thinking about having an adult beverage. And I say, well, Stevie's Wine and Spirits now has French toast whiskey. So I guess whiskey just ain't for dinner anymore, right? So, and it tastes just like French toast. It's buttery and maple-y, and it's all natural ingredients, no artificial flavors. So you can check that out. But yes, we are giving away tickets to see Cyndi Lauper all week long. And it's going to be a fantastic show, I am sure. I've heard she puts on an amazing performance. And again, knowing this will be the last time she'll be in the area, it's the final leg of her Girls Just Want to Have Fun farewell tour. So if you want to win tickets, WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Super easy. You just got to put in your information and then you're entered to win. Then we're drawing a winner each day, and it's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, who wants you to just have fun. Speaking of fun, you know, one of the things that I do for fun, maybe you've done it for fun, or at least for your own edification. Have you ever gone to the City of New Bedford website? And they have that open checkbook feature. I haven't done it in a while, but you can go through and kind of see all the vendors that the city pays. And as we're here in budget season, you know, it kind of might give you a better idea of why, you know, there's a $500 million budget. Well, mostly the schools, but still, you can see some of the things that the city pays out. And one of the things that the city pays for is legal advertising. It's required by law that the city has to post legal notices and public advertisements and, you know, let you know that there's going to be things going on for you to participate in, meetings taking place, things like that. And they spend money on that with the Standard Times. And the question here is, for what? And Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver has crafted a letter that he sent to State Senator Mark Montigny, State Rep Antonio Cabral, Chris Hendricks, Chris Markey, Steve Ouellette, and Mark Sylvia. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of this letter that Councillor Oliver has put out. He says, I am writing to urge you to revisit and modernize the current state law that mandates municipalities to publish legal notices and public advertisements exclusively in local newspapers of record. While this law may have served an important purpose in previous decades, it no longer aligns with how the majority of residents consume information in today's digital age. Print newspapers have seen a dramatic decline in circulation, readership, and influence. As a result, these advertisements often go unseen, resulting in minimal public engagement or participation, defeating the very purpose of public notice. And he says, as a city councilor currently in the budget process, I find myself struggling to make meaningful and tactful cuts to help curb the financial burden placed on our ratepayers. Meanwhile, our municipality is forced to spend tens of thousands of dollars annually on newspaper advertisements that offer little return in terms of public awareness or involvement. This is an outdated mandate that local governments can no longer afford to maintain. And he points out that there are modern communication tools that are more efficient, effective, and inclusive, such as municipal websites, digital signage at City Hall, email notifications, social media platforms, and even community access television that he says provides faster, broader, and more equitable access to information. These methods not only reduce costs significantly, but also reach a more diverse and engaged audience. So he's asking for the legislature to consider updating that law to allow municipalities the flexibility to utilize modern communication channels for public notices. Well, here's the thing. They can do that, right? I mean, and Councillor Oliver, if you're listening, and if I'm incorrect, call in and let me know, or text me and let me know. But, I mean, nothing's stopping them from putting all that on these other channels. In fact, they do. They send out press releases about certain things, and they post meetings on the calendar on the city website. But however, your point is also taken that why are you spending the money to put it in the newspaper per the state law when nobody is reading the newspaper? And that is a barrier to information because a lot of people can't afford to buy the newspaper on a daily basis anymore. I don't even know what they're charging for the Standard Times now on a daily basis. But I think they're still giving some, I think they still sell some every day through Family Dollar. I mean, Dollar Tree stores. So you can get them for $1.25 if you get there before they run out. And I know it's more than that to get the newspaper. But for what? You're getting nothing in the newspaper every day. You're getting news that's a week old. You know, you're getting current stuff from USA Today because it's a Gannett paper and it's just reprinting the same Gannett stories that are in all the Gannett papers. But you're getting, you know, that for the national news. But for the local stuff, you're getting stories that have already been on their website for a week. And things that we already talked about 2 weeks ago. Now, there are some great reporters over there doing good work and breaking stories. But again, they're on the website. They're not in the newspaper yet. Because they have to, I'm sure the deadline for the newspaper now is like 3 p.m. because they print the newspaper far away. I believe they're printing the Standard Times in Andover from what I've heard. But other local Gannett papers are being printed in New Jersey and then driven here. And I think the Standard Times plan is to, they're going to start printing that in New Jersey as well. So and from printing in Fairhaven to printing on the Cape, to printing in Providence, to now printing in New Jersey. And again, a 3 p.m. Deadline thereabouts, I think that's what I heard, so that they can get it printed and get it on the trucks and driven here in time to have the delivery people bring them out so that it's at your front door at 6 o'clock in the morning. How fresh is your news then? What are you paying for? I mean, if you need to line your birdcage, there's cheaper solutions. If you need to wrap up some fish, there's cheaper solutions. It used to be that people used newspaper for those things because it was cheap. But there's cheaper options now. So to Councillor Oliver's point, what is the point of paying thousands of dollars a year or in, as he points out in his letter, tens of thousands of dollars a year for something nobody reads. And by the way, even when the newspaper had a daily circulation of, what, 30,000, 35,000? 35,000 people weren't reading the legal notices in the back of the newspaper. Even if they read the classifieds, which many people did, you know, you skipped over the legal notices. Now, what other ways are there to communicate with people? As he points out, social media. All right, well, not everybody's on social media. Okay, well, the city's website. Well, not everybody is on online. Not everybody has a computer. We hear complaints from people that call in all the time and say, you do things online all the time. I don't have a computer. You know, eventually, folks, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but you've got to cater to the people who have the technology as opposed to the people that don't. You know, that's like us saying, you know, head on out to Westport to visit this restaurant. And people are like, well, I don't have a car. Well, I'm sorry. But a majority of people do, and that's why we're going to be talking about that. So, yeah, you might have certain barriers to each one of these methodologies and modalities individually, but if you have a holistic approach and utilize all of them, you're going to be able to hit everybody. And also, that could be part of the death knell for the local paper, too. Because, you know, the only thing keeping that paper alive is the obituaries. No pun intended. Because if people weren't paying for those every day, and if businesses weren't still advertising, thinking people read the newspaper, there'd be nothing. That's why they have, you know, well, I won't get into all that, but it's a dying medium. I'm sad to say that. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my 20 years at the Standard Times. But it's not an effective way of spending dollars and getting the word out to people. So Councillor Oliver is 100% right. But that does have to be changed at the state level, and the state legislature has to look at that. And maybe it just, you know, maybe it was something that wasn't as important of a thing in other municipalities. You know, maybe other municipalities have vibrant papers, but I don't think so. I think anybody that has a Gannett paper is going through the same thing New Bedford is. So that's Brockton, Quincy, the Cape, Taunton, many other places who are probably going through the same thing of just, what am I buying this for? And so why are you spending the money to continuously have it fall on, I was going to say deaf ears, but I guess blind eyes. I don't know. People aren't going to see it. It seems like a colossal waste of money, and that money could be better invested in getting the word out in different ways. But again, it's going to have to be a holistic approach and taking advantage of many different ways of spreading it out there. You know, people come to us all the time and say, oh, you should be running, you know, this and you should be running that. I'm like, yeah, but does that benefit a majority of the audience? You know, that's something that we have to weigh in. Could we put it on our website? Sure. But the city looks at it and says, why would we pay WBSM to put it on their website when we can just put it on our website and it's the same thing? And to that I would say, exactly. But the other part of it too is, you know, you've got to have the conversations around it. You've got to have the attention paid to it. And in the old days, putting it in the newspaper meant someone alerted a reporter and said, hey, we got a legal notice here for something that says there's going to be this meeting on this. And then the reporter would say, okay, I want to put it on my calendar. And then they would go and they would cover it. And then it would generate conversation. And then, but that isn't what happens anymore. Not when the stuff in the paper is already days old, if not weeks old, by the time you get it. And people had to go online to your website anyway to get that discussion. It's kind of like when I questioned the city's new app and I said, what did you pay for when the app just brings you to the city's website? Like a high school kid could have made that app. A high school kid could make an app that just forwards you to a website. But in this particular case, I think this would cover the legal requirement of having it out there, but also would also make it a lot shareable. It would be shareable. It would be something you could reshare as opposed to, you know, printing it once in the newspaper and then having to pay to print it again. You put it on the website, you can put it up on social media as many times as you want. Remind people as many times as you want. Anyway, I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500.
He said he's been down this road more than twice. He was high on intellectualism. I've never been there, but the brochure looks nice. Jump in, let's go.
And welcome back in. Say it is the summer of Dash. Because this Dash Laundromat is preparing to open its second location in the south end of New Bedford. Right now, they have brought back their very popular $1 a pound wash-dry fold service. So all summer long through August 31st, you can have your laundry washed, dried, and folded at Dash Laundromat for just $1 a pound. So it's going on right now at their original location at 1 State Road in Dartmouth. And then it'll also be going on at their new location in New Bedford. Once that opens up, and you will be able to get your clothes washed, dried, and folded for $1 a pound. That's insane. Well worth it. Even if you have laundry facilities in your home or your apartment building or what have you, take advantage of this. Let somebody else do the laundry for the summer at just $1 a pound. You can't go wrong. I dropped off a huge bag the other day because it had been a couple of weeks since I'd brought laundry to Dash, and this thing was heavy. Heavy. 28 pounds it turned out to be. So for $28, I'm getting my clothes washed, dried, and folded. Cheaper than it would have been if I actually did the laundry myself and had to do all that work. So check them out online, dashlaundromat.com, and download the Dash Laundromat app. You can even track the status of your laundry in real time. Check out Dash Laundromat online as well and follow along with all the updates as they're getting closer to opening that second location. Dash Laundromat, clean clothes, no games, just Dash. All right, we are going to be going into the news in a moment. And when we come back,